We have never really, though, have we, Lauren, seen any skeleton of Bigfoot or any definitive proof like that, or have we somewhere?
Well, it's interesting. If you look at the fossil record, a lot of people say, yes, we have. There's plenty of fossil evidence that these creatures are well known. As far as contemporary physical evidence, besides fecal matter and hair samples, we have no bones, we have no bodies. That's one of the questions I answer in my book. Why no bodies of Bigfoot? Well, the thing is that you talk to wildlife biologists all over the country, and you ask them, how many bears have you ever found dead in the woods? And they will universally say, none. We don't find dead bears. We don't find dead mountain lions, but we know they exist. Nature is an unforgiving funeral director. They quickly get rid of everything.
And animals carry off the bones, I would guess.
Animals eat the bones. The porcupines and rodents eat the bones for the calcium. So the bones, they disappear quickly.
Oh, they grind them up to nothing then.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And we know that if these are ape-like animals, if Bigfoot is an intelligent hominid, they also may bury their dead. They may pull them out of, you know, the regular trails that man would walk on. So there's all kinds of different possibilities for why we haven't found any bones.
And we get incredible reports on this program, Lauren, from people who, you know, they're driving their car and they see a Bigfoot object, creature, walking across the road or on the side of the road. And you know it's not some guy in a costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The most recent report that really sort of shocked people because of where it came from. On June 5th from the Yukon Village up near Whitehorse, these individuals were driving along in their ATV. The dust was kind of heavy, so they saw this kind of large man, they thought, up ahead. But there was so much dust they couldn't really tell. So they turned around and went back towards it, and they saw that it was completely covered with hair, and in two steps crossed the Alaskan Highway. And they knew that they'd seen Bigfoot. And so that kind of report does happen more often than not.
And the creature really doesn't seem to run away, does it?
No, it casually walks away. It doesn't seem to be in a hurry. Most of the Western reports, Pacific Northwest reports, the Yukon and Alaska reports, talk about these creatures being curious but not really interested in staying around. It's when you get to the east, in Ohio and, you know, Illinois and some of the southern Canadian provinces, that you get these more aggressive Bigfoot reports where they're killing dogs, they're carrying the dogs around in their arms. Ohio in the year 2000, a newspaper carrier saw one of these Bigfoot on the side of the road with a dead goat in its arms. It was splattered with blood. And so you kind of get this different geographical race between the two types of Bigfoot.
I was going to say, why this change in temperament?
Well, I think that it has everything to do with the more compact living situation in the East. You have more dogs around, more people around. There's not as much space. I mean, in the Pacific Northwest, you can come to areas where 60% of the land to 80% of the land is covered with trees. And you have to go all the way to my state, Maine, before you get another state in the east in which you have so much trees. 95% of the land surface of the state of Maine is covered with trees. And we're not surprised to find in the northern reaches of Maine and in the southern parts of Quebec, we have some what are called Wendigo or Bigfoot reports.
Well, how many different species of Bigfoot do you think are in this country, for example?
I think that there's probably one major species of Bigfoot. It has two geographic races, one a western, one a eastern. I think that in southern Illinois into the south, Ivan Sanderson's old Little Red Men of the Woods are what I call the Napes, the North American apes, and into Florida they call them the skunk apes. Those skunk apes, boogers, whatever you want to call them, swamp apes, are very much different than Bigfoot. They're more like a chimpanzee,
right,
or an orangutan.
And I would guess they're not as intelligent.
They're not as intelligent. They're a little bit shorter. They go down on all fours. And they leave a footprint that looks more like the human hand, whereas the Bigfoot footprint is consistently like a giant human foot.
How close would you match Bigfoot's intelligence, based on what you've heard and reports, to a human being?
I think that Bigfoot's more intelligent than a gorilla and less intelligent than what you would find a developmentally disabled child. They're not real intelligent. There's probably not speech. There's not culture. But they certainly have small family groups of four or so. And the most intelligent thing they do is keep away from humans.
Exactly. Do you think it's smarter than, let's say, a nice trained dog?
Yeah, I definitely think it's smarter than that.
It could be trained, I would guess.
Well, in Russia, we have reports of the Russians and Mongolians and different armies during the 1920s actually capturing, training, or in trying to interrogate these creatures that seem to be, you know, somewhat related to Bigfoot. So you do have different reports from different areas. Even in the epic Gilgamesh, which talks about, you know, a small Bigfoot-type creature, you have some notion that they were able to actually be brought into the company of men and become companions or pets.
Well, just the pet aspect would be fascinating. Any historical pictures, maybe pictures that go way back, Indian pictures on caves or anything of Bigfoot?
Well, there's some carvings, some very curious carvings from British Columbia that were found along the different riverbeds that seem to show an ape-like head. And in some of the Native Canadian and Native American masks that are from that area, that are from 300, 400 years ago, we have some very compelling illustrations through those masks and totem poles of these ape-like faces. And they're very, very much ape-like, very very much like what we expect the Bigfoots to look like through that stylized, you know, totem pole.
Have you ever had people reporting the sounds, Bigfoot sounds?
Oh, definitely. They have a long, high-pitched sound. That seems to be a major form of communication between valleys, I mean, between the mountains through the valleys. Is in some of these, we know the population has to be very small. Their breeding population, there is, for instance, no one Bigfoot or one abominable snowman. That's a myth. But we know that the numbers are so small that the only ways they seem to communicate over long distances are through these high-pitched whistles and calls.
I'm going to play a tape for you, Lauren, that we've got, and I want to get your take on what this could be. I have no idea what that could be. Is it close to anything you've heard?
Yeah, it's what people describe. I think what we always have to be careful about with tapes like this is that obviously through motion pictures, there's all kinds of sounds that people
yes.
can get out of motion pictures, and then they can say, oh, I got it out in the woods.